the Mike Tech Show, show number 388. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message, and I have one message for later in the show. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, and on Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. Have a great show planned for tonight, and sort of build itself during the week as I was assisting clients with emergencies. This was emergency work week for clients. And the big story is a problem I had with one of my clients' vendors who supplies their internet service. And I am going to get on my soapbox in a couple minutes, and I am going to take them and throw them under the bus. And when you hear what they did and what happened and what the problem was, there's a valuable lesson if you ever go through this with a client. I'm going to save you a lot of anguish, a lot of anxiety, and lots of headaches, and hopefully you'll learn from this. I still can't believe it as I think about this, and I'll probably get angrier and angrier as I talk about it. Then I have an incredible customer service story that you have to hear. Then I have some more emergencies that we're going to talk about. That we had the voicemail message, a couple emails, and have some music lined up for the end of the show as we wrap up the last show for 2011. I will be recording, well, not recording, but I will have a New Year's Eve show, but it won't be recorded. I'll be going on live at 12:30 a.m. So January 1st. So I won't be ringing in the new year for the East Coast, but we'll ring it in as we go across the time zones, across the country, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and then California for 3 a.m. Join me if you're available on Ustream, and I will tweet and Facebook it. When it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right, like hiring good people, but one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting your data that powers your business. Even something as innocent as a spilled drink or leaving your laptop in the back seat of a taxi can spell data loss. 32% of all data loss is caused by human error. Even a single incident of data loss isn't cheap. It can cost $10,000 or more to recover data from a single laptop or server. Mosey Pro's secret is that it's unbelievable, easy to use, affordable for organizations of all sizes. Jim, a real estate pro, chose Mosey Pro because it was the most cost-effective and most reliable backup service. Jim says, "We have complete peace of mind knowing that our data is backed up off-site. I can look at my partners in the eye and say, we'll never have an issue with lost data." If you're not backing up your business data with Mosey Pro, here's a reason you should consider Mosey Pro to back up all of your business data. Mosey successfully restores lost data to thousands of computers and servers every month. If your business is not backed up with Mosey Pro, you really need to make sure that your data is backed up. Give our friends at Mosey a call. They've been doing this for a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you can save 15% by using the promo code PODCAST15. Call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776. Or visit mozypro.com. That's mozypro.com. Let's begin by talking about a law firm that is a retainer client of mine. And let's go back in time to Friday before Christmas, about 4 o'clock Eastern time, 4 p.m. I get a phone call from one of the partners. The internet is down. They are a Comcast business customer. They're, you know, a half hour drive away or more. And then with traffic, it could be over an hour. And I have them reboot almost everything. They reboot the router. They reboot the Comcast modem. I mean, we even rebooted the server, which is Small Business Server 2003. I mean, we reboot everything. They are still not getting an internet connection. I can't see any of the computers on log me in. They definitely have a problem. It's the Friday before Christmas, and it's at the end of the day, and we agree that I'll come back on site Monday. They're off Monday. They really don't need the connection until Tuesday, so I'll come back Monday. In the middle of this conversation, internet comes up. Now, they had already called Comcast, and Comcast said they can get a signal. They see a signal. It comes up, and all of a sudden, I can see their systems. They can get out to the internet. So we call it quits for the night. Looks good. Everything's fine. Well, I knew there was going to be an issue because over the weekend, I checked in and I couldn't see the systems. So I seen it. It went down again. I wait, and Tuesday morning, I have to go to another client, which is literally an hour in the opposite direction. And before I leave for that client, I talk with them and I said, you got to get Comcast out there. We've done everything we can. The equipment on our side is good. All we have is a little D-Link router and we have the server. What can be wrong? There has to be something going on with the cable modem, and they even see the online light go off and on. They call Comcast, and even Comcast admits on Tuesday morning that they're not getting the proper response back from the cable modem, so they dispatch a tech. This tech is on site. He does not bring a replacement modem with him, and he can get to the internet when they turn the router into DHCP, where it gets a dynamic IP address. They have purchased 5 static IP addresses because, remember, they are hosting an email server. They have Exchange. So they have MX record out in the wild that to get their email, they have to have a static IP address. When the modem is set with the static IP address, you can't get out to the internet. I proceed to be on the phone fighting with Comcast, first with the tech who's blaming the network that's there and the network that I'm responsible for. Then I get the supervisor, and the supervisor I talk to, whose name's Michael, and I'm speaking with him, and he proceeds to treat me poorly, and I treat him poorly back. So we're really going at it with each other. He really takes offense when I said, what have you been on the residential? I said, you sound like you take care of the residential Comcast and not Comcast business. He takes offense to that. And so we lock horns. And I said, it's impossible that it's a problem on our end. You can't even go out to the internet when this thing has a static IP address. So here's what we agree. After 2 hours of fighting, and it's just ugly. Now, remember, my client's still down. We agree that I'm going to meet the tech. He's going 7:30 a.m. the next morning. He's going to have a new modem in his hand. I'm going to meet him there, and I'm going to be on site. We get on site. He has the new modem, and we have the exact same problem. And they try to say, well, it's got to be something going on the network. I said, well, wait. Let's disconnect our network. Here's my laptop. I plug it directly into the cable modem, and I can't get to the internet. So clearly it is something on Comcast's side. I do a trace route and I see it go to an IP address in the Comcast cloud and drop off and can go no further when I'm just trying to ping one of their DNS servers, which is 75, 75, 75, 75. I can't even ping that successfully. Something is wrong. I am now with customer service on the phone with the tech right there. And the tech, clearly it's out of his hands. He's done everything he can. The supervisor that I talked to, he gave up. We're on the phone with Comcast service. They say we need to escalate this to tier two because of what I found in the trace route. I said, okay, connect me to anybody that's going to help me for tier two. Well, tier two, they're going to call me back within 8 hours. I said, that's unacceptable. Please connect me to your supervisor. So now, remember, I started at 7:30 a.m. This is now 10:30 a.m. I keep pushing. I will not let go. I know this is a Comcast problem. I know it, and I won't give up, and I keep pushing. We finally get to a supervisor that gets a tech to look into this. All of a sudden, internet comes up, and everything's working. I demand to know what they did to fix this problem. Wait until you hear what happened. Now, let's back up a couple months. There was a problem with this modem, one of the modems that they originally got with the Comcast service, and it was swapped out. This was 2 months ago. We find out that they did not reset or fix or do anything with this bad modem, with a modem that was deemed not working, but it had my client's static IP address. And oh yes, they deployed it to another account that came up on Friday. They now have two static IP addresses in conflict, and that was the problem all along. This is so bad on so many levels. One, how can you send out a modem? That means it was on the back of a truck, and that means they have no proper procedure with rechecking a cable modem, resetting it, testing it, doing something before redeploying it. I can't believe it. Because remember, when it would work, when we were DHCP with no static IP address, everything worked beautiful. Well, that doesn't help my client. Okay, big deal if he can get to the internet. He can't get his email because he needs a static IP address. They put the static IP address on and they tried all kinds of settings, everything, and they couldn't figure out what's going on. It was finally resolved. Now remember, this is a law firm. So the two partners are said, Mike, I know we're on retainer and all those hours certainly charged against us. I want you to build an invoice for all the time that you put together that you've worked on this and give us a separate invoice and we'll take it from there. You can mess with a lot of people, but don't mess with attorneys. I'm really glad that they are going to pursue something. Now, I have a feeling what's going to happen. I never see Comcast writing a check, but I do see them crediting my client's bill for the amount of my invoice. That I can see. And that is something that they should do. They already credit them a month for this aggravation. And all they did was apologize. And I said, thank you for the apology, but don't apologize to me. You call my client right now and you apologize to them. And they did. I mean, they know they are clearly in the wrong. But could you imagine that? To fight. I mean, I was losing my voice and to have to go through that. It's a happy ending, but it's so frustrating. What are we going to do to make sure that my client's email is protected during this? We are going to get the Postini service, which is owned by Google, and that, yes, it's spam filtering, but it also provides email continuity. So if for whatever reason there are servers down or the internet connection's down, it will spool all the email and it will be available just via a browser and they can get to their email. Because the danger is that an email is going to get rejected, that an email is going to get lost, because we don't know what email system someone's sending their email from. So different things are going to happen, you know, during this outage. And you're in a business, especially a law firm, you can't take the chance of losing a single email. That's what we're planning on and hopefully bringing up online next week. And I'll report back on the Bostini installation. I'm very familiar with their services. I've talked about this in the past and I've used it. Let's go back to last Thursday night after the show. I am trying to get ready and doing some wrapping for Christmas. And there were things that I purchased from Amazon. And one of the things that was purchased for my youngest son was, you know, a couple Xbox games and some things. But one of the Xbox games, as I opened this Amazon box that was never touched, I opened the brown Amazon box. In it is the Xbox 360 game. And Ryan notices, he says, "Dad, it looks like it's open." I opened the game. The disc is not there. The manual's not there. Christmas is Sunday. I'm like, what am I going to do? This is 1 a.m. on Thursday night, or actually Friday morning. I call Amazon, and you call them by entering your phone number when you go online, and then they dial you back, and you just answer, and you're automatically set up in the queue. I call, and I'm very nice, and I say, "What can I do?" I describe exactly what happened. The guy at the other end says, "I understand. Don't worry about a thing. Hold on hold for a couple minutes. I'll be back." So I'm on hold for a couple minutes. He comes back, and he says, "I got approval to send you out the brand new game, and you're going to get it on Christmas Eve. It'll be Saturday delivery. No charge." Now remember, all I had was my word in telling them what happened. You tell me, customer service, can it be any better? This is very typical of Amazon. And not only that, I read an article today, and I'm going to put the link in the show notes. Amazon was ranked number one in online customer service. And this is why. They seen how much I purchased. They seen that I've never called on an issue like this. I've never done that. And they were there noon on Saturday. That was delivered by UPS, just like they said. This is why I've never been prouder to be an affiliate of such a company and a company like Amazon. And yes, I'm turning this into a shameless plug, because why not? This is what you want protecting. This is where you want to buy things. A company that's going to stand behind what they sell. It doesn't get any better than that. And you can buy anything from Amazon. Use my link, and that contributes back to the show and support the show. Amazon.mikenation.net. Go to my website, MikeTechShow.com, MikeNation.net. Click on Amazon on the left-hand side. When you buy something, I get a commission. And I want to thank everybody for the incredible Christmas season that you've created in using my link and sharing my link. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. It has been a great year as an Amazon affiliate, and it's all because of you. And if one thing for 2011 that I want to say is, such a big thank you for everybody who supports the show and uses that link. So we continue on with emergencies. I get a call. Now, this ends yesterday at 11:30 in the morning with my client wraps up with the Comcast issue. I'm heading to another client to drop off some data that I recovered from a hard drive that had failed, and I got all the data back. I drop off those DVDs, and I am figuring I'm going to have a little break before I install some new systems for a client. It's a new computer system. Before I even get home, I get a panic phone call from another client, and they had a power outage for a few hours. The servers are coming back up. They have two servers. Workstations, power's been back on for a half hour, and they can't get to the server. They can't get to the internet. And I just think it's the order in which everything came up. Because when you have a power outage that's so long, you get different things coming up at different times. And all I did was restart the DNS service, and then I was able to get to the internet, and everything looked good. I made sure that the other server came up with no errors. And we just needed things to settle down. One of the UPSs failed, as always, when you have a major outage like that, a power outage, you're sure that one of your older UPSs. So we quickly turned that off and moved a couple items, shifted them around. Before I even started that, I restarted the Fios modem. And once I was there, I made sure everything was settled, everything was working, everything came up fine, and they were running. But it took some time, and we had to make sure we had a test. We got that, and then now I had to push my client that was, I thank him so much. He was so kind to allow me to push the install to today. And today I was over his house, and I was at his home office, and we got a new system with dual monitors hooked up, converted all of his data, transferred everything, and it just went perfectly. And there was some things that I was teaching him along the way as he wanted to learn, and it was great, and everything went well. And in the middle of this, I get another emergency call from a client whose system has crashed, and this is one of those systems that has whole disk encryption, which is a nightmare for a tech to try to repair a Windows system that's going haywire and it's got whole disk encryption. I could not even get it to safe boot. So they have a server where all their data is on, and I ask the user, is there anything we care about on this system? And he says, absolutely nothing. There is nothing on that computer that I need because they save everything on the server. But the only thing, we're going to have to repush the corporate software down, which is a pain. That takes a day or two to finally get all the programs that they push. But I can put Office on it, and I have my Dell Windows 7 64-bit with SP1 original DVD. And this is a Dell system that came with Windows 7. So remember, you can use any Dell disk on a Dell system like that. I said, 1 hour, I will have you up and running. And that is exactly to the minute from doing a system, a Dell OptiPlex 790 from scratch, booting up with that DVD, blowing away the partitions, installing it from scratch, installing Office, and installing the printers for the network printers, and getting him connected to the server, 1 hour. That was so much better than possibly 2 or 3 hours trying to fix that problem. I love the install of Windows 7 on a Dell system, especially when you don't have to go driver hunting because it just automatically has all the drivers on the OptiPlex. That is impressive. And they were happy. 1 hour, the guy's up and running, and away I go. I thought I was actually going to be late and getting started tonight because that's what I was doing before I got home and then getting ready for the show. And instead of having a long, drawn-out process there, I was able to make it back and actually have dinner like a human being and before the show, and actually was able to get ready. But these are just some of the stories from this week. It has been nonstop emergency after emergency. I've never seen so many problems in 1 week. It was like, we're going to fix Mike for the end of 2011. You're going to go out with a bang here. We're going to test you on everything. And so it was. I had problems with some shared directories on a system at one of my biggest clients. And luckily, a reboot of that workstation was able to take care of it. It's been a very, very busy week, and I got I am happy to report that there was a happy ending for each of the incidents that's happened. I'm proud of that I was able to solve all the problems, bring them on one after the other, took care of them, took care of everybody. I got some phone calls I'm going to catch up on tomorrow that I had to push aside for today. Next week's already booked, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at least of next week, so we're looking forward to it. I have a voicemail here that I want you to listen to, and I have some interesting comments about this.
Hey, Mike. It's Patrick Boyle in Springfield, Missouri. Notice Mosey Pro is a newer sponsor of the Mike Tech Show, and just wanted you to know that I think that Mosey has a really good program. It's very smooth and easy to use. But I also want you to know that they have no respect for Mosey Free. I had Mosey Free testing it out for several months on my own machine, or one of my own machines, and my wife's machine. And it was in constant use. And one day, I noticed that it had a little flag on the icon and it was no longer working. So, you know, I checked into it, and it couldn't connect to the account. I thought, well, you know, something happened, password got corrupted or something, so I tried reentering credentials, no go, and contacted Mosey support, and they said they could not find an account under either of those user IDs. Anyway, that was without notice. I mean, they just dropped our accounts, and their only answer was that, you know, if I could give them the credit card number that I paid for them with, that they might be able to recover the accounts. Of course, being Mosey Free, there was no credit card number. So I was very disappointed and let them know that the only thing a backup service has is trust, because anybody, you know, can do a backup service just about. I thought you should know, since they're a sponsor of yours. Wish you a pleasant day. Thanks for the show.
Patrick, I'm glad you sent me the voicemail, and he actually sent me a follow-up voicemail, and he said, Mike, don't play that, because I know they're a sponsor, and I do want to respond. He's talking about the free Mosey, not Mosey Pro. What is the lesson here? Yes, if someone has a service and they say they're going to do something and it's free and they don't honor it, can we hold them accountable? The lesson here is a backup service that's free can go out of business anytime they want. What is their business model? Clearly, Mosey has a model for pro. You're going to pay for that service. I expect the SLAs. I expect the support. I expect the service, and I expect to be able to get my data because I am paying for that service. If you're not paying for it, it's free. You can't complain. Patrick, I know it's not fair, and I know you were putting your backup trust, but it was in a free service. Don't do it. Am I defending them for what they did? No, there should have been a better communications, certainly. Even in a free service, you would expect to be notified that there's a period of time if the account's going to be disabled or they're going to be dropping the free service. It would make sense for them to do something to let you know ahead of time. But it was free. Please do not put your trust to backing up your data, which is so important, to anything that's free. Don't do it. Don't. I don't care if they've been in business doing it free for 10 years. It's free. They can drop out anytime they want. They can do anything they want, and you can't do anything about it. But if you enter into a contract where you are paying money for the service, that's a whole different ball game. And that's a level that you should be working at for the backup of your data. That's my two cents. I believe in Mosey Pro. It's why they're a sponsor. I do like their service. I have a client that uses it and is very happy. I also like other services, and you know I love different backup programs. If you want it right and you want good service, good support, you got to pay for it. That's the way it is, and especially for an online service. And if you're storing your file somewheres and it's free, look for a professional service that you're going to have to pay a little money, because that's the only one that I'm going to trust. I can't put my trust into something that's free. They don't get that from me. As unfair as that is, I wanted to share that because I don't hide anything here. And if you have a comment, you disagree with me, or you have a complaint, let me know. And if you have a complaint with the Mosey Pro service, if anything comes up, you let me know, because I'll put you in touch with Mosey support and make sure that it's taken care of. Because if it's not taken care of, well, they're not going to be a sponsor for me. I won't have it. Have two quick emails here. And free software, great topic. He says, I have been catching up some of the older episodes. I like some of the programs you like, but I think you need to clarify that some of them, such as Drive Image XML, are free for personal use, but if you want to use it as a consultant, you need to use the commercial version. And this is M. Murray. Thank you very much for that. He is dead on. You need to look at the software license agreement, and if you can't use it, you have to pay for the license. That's it, in a commercial environment. Same with Avira. There's free for home use and not-for-profit. In a commercial, no, commercial environment, you got to use the paid version. So keep that in mind. And yes, I don't mention that enough. Thank you for reminding me of that, to let everybody know. This is from Mark, who is in the chat. And he says, hi, Mike. Happy New Year. I was wondering if in your travels, you have found a favorite light to medium speed monochrome network laser printer. It wouldn't need to be wireless, as I know you are not a fan of wireless printers. It appears that network printers have evolved quite a bit, especially the smaller variety seems to have taken on the printer queuing function in the printer as opposed to relying on server spooling. What are your thoughts? Regards. And this is me, Claudius. Mark, there is a very small printer that I really like. That's HP. Unfortunately, there's no Ethernet connection. It's just wireless, which I don't like, or USB. It's a great local printer. The printer is under $100, and it's a great laser printer. If you have, or put that with a USB print server, that's $20. I will put the links to this low-end HP LaserJet, which I have with a lot of clients as a desktop laser. But if you find one of them that's reliable, don't be afraid of the USB print server if you don't have an Ethernet port. I know Winston in the chat just put the P2015, and I will check that out and also put that in the show notes. So I think we have a couple recommendations for you, Mark, and hopefully one of them will work out. That is it for the last show of 2011. I have some independent music from one of my favorite artists, and this is Rob Coslow, and the song is Not Alone. And I thought very appropriate that I wrap up the last show of 2011 with the artist that his music is what I use for my intro and outro for every show. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up. That was Not Alone by Rob Coslow from his CD Woods of Chaos. And I will have a link to his website, which is robcoslow.com, in the show notes. And you can easily buy any of his music from Magnatunes. And that is why there is a link at the end of my show notes for every show. Some of the music you've heard can be purchased from Magnatunes. That's why that's there. You can click on that link, purchase it, and you literally get to pick the price that you want to pay for the CD. It doesn't get any better than that. And he has written some of the most beautiful music for the piano. What an incredibly gifted pianist. And I am proud to be able to use his music as part of my intro and outro for every episode. And Rob's a great guy, and especially allowing me to do that. And I thank him, and please support him by buying his music. All right. That's it for the last show of 2011. I can't wait to start next year and start a new year. And I had just a great time recording this year. I've had lots of fun. And as you know, the ups, the downs, everything. Thank you so much for listening, your support. Have a happy and safe new year. And I will see you all. And you can hear me next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.